Morning, everybody. We're going to look at Luke again today, the book of Luke. And we're going to be picking up verse 40. And we're going to read through to 56. But just to remind you that at the end of the service, we'll stop and we'll ask questions. And you're able to ask me, but you're also able to bring your point because I think it really helps. It's quite a difficult text, and I need your help. We all need each other's help to get the right thing out of this story, right? So let's think about it as you go through, and maybe you're going to think of something, you're going to go, wait a minute, that sounds like this, or it reminds me of that. And try and bring that into the talk at the end. Try and hold on to that point, because it'll help us gain understanding. Now, if we just read through the story and try and understand what's going on, we can come up with all sorts of answers, can't we? We did a song just now, Is Well With My Soul. And we've heard, most of us in the church know the background to the song. And when you sing it knowing the background, the song suddenly has so much more importance, doesn't it? But if you don't know the background, ask someone today about the background of this at the end of the service. And you'll find out, wow, that song is really important to us. It's got so much more meaning. And so I think the same goes for when we read this Luke 8:40-56, is we need to look at the context that it's coming from. It's quite hard to have a good understanding without looking at where it's coming from. So to start off, let's read Luke 8, verse 40-56, and then let's get an understanding of what we're reading by looking back and looking forwards. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him, and how she'd been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him, except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. So there's two miracles that happen, two sort of stories that are kind of, one story is in the middle of another one. How can we read and understand these stories? There's so many things happening in the two situations. So how do we make sense of it? First, we look, as I said, at the context. So what's just happened, that's part of the context, is in saying what happened before, what's just happened, and what do we know is going to happen. In the past week's sermons, you've heard about Jesus' power over demons, power over the wind and the waves, and how John the Baptist's fears were stilled. And soon, coming up, the disciples are going to be given tasks to go and visit the surrounding towns to tell the good news and to do miracles. In the wider context, if we look at the whole Bible, there's Genesis 1 and 2, where Genesis 1, where God creates the world and he creates man, and Genesis 2, and then we have a fall. Man falls from God. He sins and he rebels. And now that we've got a little bit of the context, we're going to look at some words and phrases that are interesting or maybe worth looking at. And when we look at them, we're going to look at them and go, this is a strange word, or these are two words that sort of compete with each other or contrast each other. So we look at Jairus' daughter. And Jairus is a man of standing. He's a synagogue leader. I mean, he's like one of the big guys. But he falls down at Jesus' feet. Isn't that a strange thing? Doesn't it make you stop and go, hey, wait a minute. Imagine seeing like a synagogue leader, or imagine seeing a really important, imagine seeing Theresa May walk in the room and come fall down at my feet. That is such a crazy picture, isn't it? It's really a big picture. It's not a small picture. It's quite dramatic. And the funny thing here is Jairus is a synagogue leader. We know what happened before, don't we? In the past weeks that we've been here, Jesus has been in synagogues and things, and people have jeered at him. And they've said really, really difficult things to him. So do you think maybe Jairus is maybe a person who in the past would have said, I don't know about this guy. Maybe Jairus actually been quite judgmental about Jesus in the past. He's got a 12-year-old girl, 12-year-old daughter, an only daughter who's 12 years old. And he must, it's really important to him that he goes after this. She's dying and it's urgent. There's something really, really urgent the way it's conveyed to us. And then there's the crush of the second story in the middle of it that stops us. So you're kind of on the way to hospital in the ambulance, and suddenly there's a guy who just stops his car in front of the ambulance and you can't get the ambulance moving. There's this urgent situation that you want to get your daughter to hospital to get her healed, and someone blocks the path. There's this woman and there's this crowd that's crushing and stopping Jesus from getting through. It's an important point to look that there's two stories, and why is the one story stuck in the middle of the other? It's made to stop us and get us to that tension, that moment of like, oh, wait a minute, this is urgent. Please, can we make this story move on? And you get this sort of sense of like, this is slowing things down. The girl is not going to do well. And the next thing, she's dead. And basically what we're saying is, you were too slow. The story says to us, you were too slow. And why did you give that woman time? That's kind of what it's putting us into the position of. And there's this guy who calls him teacher. He says, teacher, the child is dead. How is he viewing Jesus? How do you think he sees Jesus? Do we see him as just a teacher? Or is he something more? And Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe. It's important to think about, well, why did he say that? Because are we people who are afraid? Why was this guy afraid? Why did Jesus give him the question or the statement, just believe? And then there's this wailing group. When you go to like a funeral and you have people crying, it's not often that you get them to start laughing, is it? It's really, really mournful. And then someone says, the person you're crying for is not dead, they're asleep. You go, ha, 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 that's ridiculous. It's not the sort of thing you do, but it is kind of strange, isn't it? So this wailing turns to laughing, and it's all just about, it's we're kind of looking at Jesus' character, aren't we? And then he speaks. He doesn't use medicine. He doesn't give her some paracetamol or some amazing medicine. He just speaks. And he says, get up. Now, Luke is a doctor, and so it's important. Luke is really interested in what happens. And he said to her, get up. Now, I mean, for a physician, that would be quite difficult. to have trust in the power of words over trust in the power of medicines. And then it says, her spirit returned. What does that mean? It means that she came back to life. It means that she was back physically again. And then the story of the bleeding woman. So in the first story, we had Jairus' daughter. Jairus is a synagogue leader. He's a big man. And now we have bleeding woman. She doesn't even have a name. She's so separated from Jairus' daughter in that she doesn't even have a name. And Jairus' story seems really, really urgent. But this one, in the middle of it, seems very slow and not that urgent. Tom was talking about what's urgent, what's important. Well, it doesn't seem like this is so urgent, does it? There's these crowds that crush Jesus, and then but she just touched the cloth. There's this pressure on Jesus with all these people around him, and then there's this very gentle, just a touch. And she's an outcast. She's not included in society. She doesn't belong to a group. She doesn't have all the pleasures of being part of the synagogue. Part of the law was that if you were a woman who was bleeding, you were not allowed to come back into worship for 7 days until after it stopped. And she's been like this for 12 years. So for 12 years, I mean, you may think, well, you know what? That's not urgent. But I tell you what, I think if you've had 12 years like that, you probably start thinking it is quite urgent. It is quite important that things change. And then Jesus says the power has gone out of him. Does that mean he's like a Duracell battery that runs flat and then you throw it away when it's finished? Or is there an unlimited supply of power in Jesus? The power that goes out of him. What is that saying? And how does that change our thinking of the crush versus the touch? Because it's almost like the crushing crowds, they don't see Jesus as important as the lady who just gently touches his robe. The crushing crowds, he's just another face in the crowd. But for this one lady, he's something to be touched. And she also falls at his feet. She comes trembling because she's full of shame. And actually, if she touches a holy man, she makes him unholy, because that's what they're told. There's only one person who she can touch, who she won't make unholy. You remember at Christmas, I did the trainers. It was a dirty trainer and a clean one. And I said, if they touch, does a dirty trainer come clean, or do both trainers come dirty? Well, this is the only case. The only person that you can touch that you won't make dirty. And she touches him. There's something amazing in the fact that she does that, because she knows she's not supposed to be doing that. And he says to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And in the book of Mark, it says that your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And so Jesus is saying something more than just you are healed. He's talking about her soul. Because it says go in peace afterwards. Why would he say go in peace? I mean, that's not what I say. You're better now. See you later. But Jesus says go in peace. And so he's talking about you're part of the group which isn't allowed near God. So there's an exclusion group. And now you're part of the group which is allowed near God. You can go in peace to meet God. That's an amazing point that comes across. And then we come back to Jairus' story. Look at how this contrasts the two miracles. Jairus' story with its urgency and the characters that are involved, and this lady and the slowness of her situation and how it's involved. So what does it tell them? Together, it tells them that God hasn't left them to rot. He's waiting for their need. In the beginning, I said to you, Genesis 1:2, things went wrong. In the beginning of the Bible, in the beginning of existence, things went wrong because they rejected God. And they said, I don't need you. I don't need your authority in my life. Adam and Eve said, I don't need your authority in our life. We don't need you. And there's a split that comes between man and God, and things fall apart. And what we could have said is, you know what, God's just going to say, never, I'm not interested. And some people think that God isn't interested anymore. In fact, they say he doesn't exist, or he's not important. But this story tells us that God is interested. He's waiting for their need. And sometimes you'll find things that are outside of your control. You can't control everything. In fact, if you really look at it carefully, you're in control of very little of your life. It's down to the grace of God that things are working smoothly in your life. But when things fall apart, where do you go? And God is interested in this very, very important Jairus, who's a VIP, and is also interested in a very unimportant woman who has no name. Very interested in both of them. Being a VIP doesn't get you into a relationship with God any more than being a person who is basically, by all rights, cursed. She wasn't allowed to be part of the group, but Jesus had time for her. God wants to meet with individuals, not a crowd. The whole crowd crushes around him, but Jesus takes time with one person. He doesn't take time with the whole crowd. He doesn't take time with the whole big group. And so if you think you can come to Jesus as part of a crowd, it's not going to work. That's kind of what we learn from this. They start to recognize Jesus as the highest authority. How do we know that? Because they fall at his feet. That's what you do when you come near a king and you want something from him. You don't go up to a king and go, hey man, how do you shake hands, man? You go down on your knees. They cannot pollute God. Neither of them can, not with their illnesses or anything that they bring. And there's this thing of urgent and important. God has a different set of priorities from what they would expect. So you expect, well, they would expect, the synagogue ruler would get more important place, but he doesn't. And physical death is different from spiritual death. You see, there's a point at which Jairus' daughter is healed, but doesn't talk about anything after that. She just comes back to life. But the woman who has, the woman in the story, Jesus restores her relationship with God. And you're going to die one day. That's the truth. I have to inform you on this. But there's also something coming afterwards. And faith is what they all needed. Both Jairus needed faith and the woman needed faith to be healed. What does it tell us? God hasn't left you to rot, but he's waiting for your need. He's waiting to hear what your problem is. You're in very little control of your life, and when troubles come across your path, you need a higher power. God is interested in you. You may feel unimportant, excluded from society, but that's not how God feels about you. God has no VIPs. But also, if you're part of the crowd, if being part of the crowd is important to you, I don't think you're going to find much from God. It's more important that you have a relationship with God by yourself rather than as a group. We have to bend the knee to be healed. You do. You do have to bend the knee. You need to get down and recognize Jesus is God. You can't just go, you know what, I really like Jesus, but it's for someone else. You have to recognize Jesus is God. You can't damage Jesus' image. That's what it teaches us as well. And also, I think there's stuff that we have in our lives where we say, you know, this is taking too long to get better. This isn't happening now. And we look at God and we say, well, why? Where is God? Why is God not here? Think about the stories in the Bible of Moses crossing the desert, 40 years. Think about Job suffering. Job suffered so much. And he had to sit through all of his friends talking to him. And it was just, the story feels like it goes on forever. Think about Joseph sitting in prison. It's not as if God works the stuff in a minute. Sometimes it takes time. And our priorities are very different from God's. We mustn't click our fingers and expect God to run to our aid. We ask God for something and we wait for Him to bring it. That's what faith is. Faith is believing that God has heard you and trusting that He will supply your need. Faith is not clicking your fingers and expecting God to be there. And so I don't know what your story is or where you are at the moment in life, but there may be something which is really difficult. And you know, God, I give up. I don't have time for that person. I don't have time for this job hunt anymore. Or I don't have time for, Abraham didn't have time for waiting for God to provide him with a child. And so he slept with Hagar. You don't have time for it. And then a whole lot of trouble comes out of it. We have to wait for God. Waiting for God is very important in this story. Your physical death is just a little sleep. But there's a big thing coming after that. That's what it's telling you. Death is not the end. You're going to wake up again after you're dead, and you're going to have to face judgment from God. And God is going to come and look at you and say, let me see, where are you? We have to be aware that Jesus has the power to get us, not only bring us back to life, that He will change our life here on earth, and He will make us happier people. We will be able to work better with things, but also Jesus provides us a way to get into a relationship with God. Worry and anxiety do not improve things. Faith in God is what matters. It's His love for us and our situation that makes us a believer. It shows that we believe. God's love is what saves you. It's not how hard you worry about things that saves you. The cloth that the woman touched is still available. But it's not the cloth that heals. It is Jesus that heals. So you can reach out and touch Him anytime you want to. Right now you can do it. Because He's alive. This is a sort of paraphrase of Jeremiah 31. Here's the truth. There's nobody that's more important than you. God loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for your sins. He loves you and calls you His child. You're more important to God than Jairus' daughter was to Jairus. Do not listen to or operate on the judgment of men or people. Don't let them decide whether you should be excluded or included. It's up to God. We will always get it wrong. But God loves you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we are struck by how powerful You are and humbled by how weak we are. Lord, You are the God who's in control. Give us hearts to trust You. Help us to have eyes that see Your power and see Your strength and look for You. And give us faith which lasts so that we don't stumble to try and make things work for ourselves, but that we trust you to make it work for us. You know those things in our lives, Lord. You know those things that we worry about. You know those things where we want to speed it up. Lord, I pray that this gives us the patience. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.